This is Jill McGuire, Acting General Manager of Public Radio East. As you know, PRE serves all of Eastern North Carolina. Right now, we have thousands of our listeners being severely impacted by flooding. We will not conduct the fund drive as currently scheduled during this critical emergency. The fall fund drive will begin Monday, October 24th, and conclude Saturday, the 29th. If you've received a pledge information in the mail, I hope you will support PRE. Thank you and be safe.
This is the Downeast Journal on Public Radio East. It's been a long process since Hurricane Matthew struck nearly a week ago. Now, Eastern North Carolina is experiencing devastating flooding not endured since 1999 during Hurricane Floyd. While life is going on as normal for most people in our region, those who live along rivers, especially the Tar River in Greenville and the Neuse River in Kinston, their lives are in upheaval. In Beaufort County, residents along VOA Road outside of Washington were woken up by a knock on the door at 2 a.m. Sunday. Officials were warning of impending floodwaters and urging residents to evacuate their homes immediately. A tributary of the Tar River had overflowed its banks and was threatening several homes in the neighborhood.
They moved everybody out across the street. It was mandatory. They made everybody leave to the elementary school down the road.
Dustin Smith and his fiancée, Alicia Piper, grabbed what they could and left as quickly as possible. But the water had already flooded their garage where their car was parked.
We had six people push the car out. It's running like crap right now, and there was about 10 inches of water in the floorboards. Our windshield's all cracked up from tree branches falling and hitting it.
Dustin and Alicia made their way to New Bern, where they spent the night with a family member. On Monday, they were back in Beaufort County to retrieve personal items left behind in the frantic nighttime evacuation. By then, barricades were set up on VOA Road in both directions, blocking traffic. In the last 32 hours, the water had come up about 7 feet and was still rising.
It was on the first step of the walkway going up to the house. As you can see right now, it's almost on the second plank, which is probably about 8 feet to 10 feet in the air. Right there.
Dustin set a plastic blue kayak in the floodwaters, walked it out to a deeper area, cautiously climbed inside, and slowly paddled towards his house some 50 yards away.
Never done this before.
Dustin is originally from South Bend, Indiana. He's never experienced flooding like this, but Alicia remembers Hurricane Irene in 2011.
There was some flooding in Vanceboro when we were living there, but other than that, no.
Nothing this bad?
Nothing this bad.
They weren't the only ones trying to save personal and sentimental items. People in small skiffs and rafts were paddling back and forth between houses and dry ground, dropping off flat-screen TVs, computers, clothing, photo albums, and other belongings. A small gathering of about a half dozen people stood at the water's edge, friends, family, and neighbors, ready to assist as boats pulled up. Dustin and Haley Overton were helping their mom get things out of her house by 5 p.m., that's when they were told everything would be underwater.
You can see the ripples coming in as the water's still coming from the bridge down there.
The sheriff just came up and told us that it was rising more than they were expecting it to initially.
And he just gave everybody here an evacuation order, effective immediately.
One by one, pickup trucks back up to the floodwaters to offload a boat. A couple of people jumped in and paddled off. Dustin says the scene reminds him of Hurricane Floyd.
It was just as bad as this. I mean, we had people trying to get rescued by boats. We got caskets popping up all over the place, power out for a month and a half. Yeah, that's probably what you'll see here.
On the right side of VOA Road, the ground is lower and the water was already up to windowsills in several of the houses. A red car in the distance was partially submerged and water had already come up to the headlights. Resident Bud Alleygood was loading a couple skiffs on a boat trailer. He had about a foot and a half of water inside his home.
We got a lot of water, you know what I'm saying, and everything that we own is pretty much destroyed, damaged, except for luckily we got our vehicles out, you know, barely got them out. But other than that, man, taking it day by day, you know.
Some of Bud's cousins and friends helped him get electronics out of the house. Unfortunately, he had already lost thousands of dollars worth of power tools to the rising floodwaters. Things can be replaced, he told me, but lives can't. Until the floodwaters recede, he's staying with family in Chocowinity.
Me and my son, we are over there. I mean, we're homeless pretty much right now. We're doing the best we can, you know.
Nearby residents in the path of rising floodwaters silently watched from afar, arms folded, as another boat pulled up, loaded with personal possessions. People sprang into action, loading the items into a waiting car. The conversations remained lighthearted, but there were pensive looks on many of their faces. Dustin Smith paddled the kayak up to the water's edge, and his fiancée, Alicia Piper, grabbed a couple of pillows and his badge for work. He climbed out of the kayak and reported that the water was only a couple feet from coming inside the house.
Probably gonna lose everything.
Yeah. The way that they're talking, yeah, probably.
Hurricane Matthew and the devastating flooding couldn't come at a worse time for Dustin and Alicia.
I'm really hoping that the house is all right. We just got the nursery set up. I'm doing 20 days, and she could come any day now. Well, it's scary stuff.
In Pitt County, residents are waiting for the Tar River to recede. Some are temporarily living in shelters with little to no idea of what awaits them after the all-clear is given to go back home. Chris Thomas visited one of those shelters this week and has this.
It's Tuesday afternoon at E.B. Acock Middle School. It's situated in the middle of a residential neighborhood about a mile east of East Carolina University and about 3 miles south of the Tar River. But class isn't in session. It hasn't been all week in Pitt County, at any of its public institutions. Signs at the front door direct everyone to go around the back, where the buses are parked. The rooms and hallways are bare, except for volunteers and a few evacuees. Weekdays still mean work for most, flood or no flood. Some of the younger guests play volleyball in the gym. One of the few sounds of normalcy heard in the halls. Richard Mabry is a volunteer with the American Red Cross and a retired technician. When the shelters are open, he says he stays busy.
I have done things such as dormitory layouts and cots unloader and generator unloader and food handler and worked on the line, feeding lines. When I come to the shelter, I come to work. And where there's a need, that where I'll be.
Mabry lives off of NC-33, near the Pitt-Greenville Airport. It's right in the middle of the city's evacuation zone. He currently lives with his wife, who was at a separate shelter with members of their church in Winterville.
She is going with her church sisters to spend the night. And I said, well, if you're going to do that, I can spend the night at the Red Cross.
Mabry evacuated over the weekend as Matthew blew through the region. But he visited his home to assess the damage caused by the hurricane.
Trash from other people. I mean, in front of my house were littered with nothing but boards and paper and trash and pine cones and stuff. And you could see where the water got up to my vents at one point in time. So, I mean, you know, it was signs of it there.
Officials have drawn comparisons between the aftermath of Hurricane Matthew and Hurricane Floyd, which set records for flooding across eastern North Carolina 17 years ago. The Tar River in Greenville crested at 25.1 feet Thursday, nearly 4.5 feet shy of the record. Mabry was in Florida while Floyd came through eastern North Carolina and didn't have to evacuate, but he remembers the impact it made when he came back to Pitt County.
Getting back home was a hassle, but once I got back here, I could see the devastation all around the neighborhood, especially on what we call Old River Road. That's where, it was just like disaster.
Thousands of people across the state have sought shelter from flooding after Hurricane Matthew. More than 300 have checked into Pitt County's four shelters, according to Callie Edwards of the American Red Cross. She's the executive director of the Northeastern North Carolina chapter, the organization running the shelters.
There's so many people that are at home watching, hearing what's going on the news and radio. And so What I want them to know is that these are their neighbors in need, and there are things that they can do to help support them now, because this could be any of us.
Even before the river reached its crest, people were asking what they could do to chip in.
Okay.
It's right next to the Moe's on Red Bank.
Right, okay. Will they have a list of things that they might need put out? Or
may be able to call them?
Edward says the organization is taking stock of what it needs to do to best help those staying in shelters. They may change as flooding continues through the weekend and into the next week.
Right now, in-kind goods that we're receiving are things like bottled water, food, snacks, hygiene products, and new blankets. Those things we can always use in shelters, but we really want people to bring those items to the Red Cross chapter. If it's here at Greenville, we have a truck where we're taking items at the truck and can save that. You can safely store that.
It's unknown when the shelters will close, but Edward says the organization's mission is to get people out and back home as safely and quickly as possible. The shelters are sparse on luxuries. You're given food, a roof over your head, and a cot. Not much else.
I will say that, you know, we don't have everything that's needed in a shelter for daily life. Living in a shelter is never an optimal experience for anyone, but we are focused on meeting the needs of the masses right now.
But that may have to do for hundreds in eastern North Carolina, including Richard Mabry, for the near future. The latest forecast from the National Weather Service has the Tar River in Greenville above flood stage until next Thursday.
I packed a bag, but basically, whatever I have to do, what's not in that bag, I have to go to Walmart somewhere and get it.
That suits him just fine, though. All the irreplaceables, his and his wife's life, are out of harm's way. I'm Chris Thomas.
Among the cities facing the greatest difficulties from flooding in the wake of Hurricane Matthew is Kinston. George Olson spoke with the city's mayor, B.J. Murphy, who said the city is almost an island in eastern North Carolina.
Well, we're certainly being cut off right now by the Neuse River from north, south, east, and west here in Kinston, and it's certainly causing some logistical issues, which is a big part of the reason why we've had a curfew and issued a state of emergency throughout the entire week. We're expecting it to last a few days because of the crest and how long it, however long it takes for it to go back down. So we are just asking the public, look, if you don't need to be out at night, though, that is the reason for a curfew, because it is rising rapidly and is going to rise another 3 feet or so over the next 48 hours.
How many people did you have in flood zones in Kinston, and how many have evacuated?
The worst thing that ever happened to our community has actually turned out to be one of the best things for us at this time, and that is the Hurricane Floyd disaster of 1999. That was considered the flood of the century, so we're technically going to have a second flood of the century in less than two decades. But because of that, FEMA, city, and the county bought out a lot of property, and I would tell you that about 90% of the residents that normally would be impacted by this event are going to be okay, because there's nobody there. There is just this complacency of those that are left, as well as the businesses that could be impacted by the new movement of the river, et cetera, that we're concerned that we want to make sure everybody knows this is a serious event, this is a dangerous event, and everybody has to get out.
I know a lot of the businesses on 70 have evacuated. What have you heard from businesses as far as the impact on them?
I'm good friends with several of the businesses along Highway 70, and I'll tell you that because of the incredible advance notice we had, they had teams and volunteers in packing up, you know, Monday and Tuesday of this week, and they were out by Wednesday. And so they were fully expecting to be flooded. It definitely overnight, they went from dry buildings to it is cross Highway 70. So places like King's and the new sports shop are covered with water right now, several feet of water inside their buildings. So it's really unfortunate for them, and the good thing is they have experience with it. They didn't think this would happen for another 100 years, so that hurts business certainly, but really glad that they went ahead and took precautions and got their product off the shelves, up and out of harm's way, and their employees are home safe.
And has there been any thought as to what might be done to perhaps lessen the impact of the next 100-year flood?
Well, I suspect after this flood is finished that FEMA will do some more assessments as well as the state and county officials as to what is the best way to continue to try to mitigate this in the future. And the truth is, you know, I suspect they didn't predict that this could happen for another 100 years. Certainly there's always this probability that it could. But, you know, I will tell you that because of the advances in technology, that the advanced warning we have received has been very beneficial to our community. We'll still have millions of dollars in losses, but nowhere near the financial impact it had almost two decades ago.
And what's the power situation at this time? I know that when the storm went through last weekend, I think at least three-quarters of the citizens lost power. Where are you now?
We have restored 100% of our power. There might be a blip here or there, but 100% of our power has been restored, so we're happy about that. And that's just for City of Kinston customers. There are our neighbors, you know, maybe with Duke Power or Tri-County that had some tougher issues related to us. I don't have the latest numbers on theirs, but the City of Kinston has restored power to every single household. We're planning to just operate as normal, and as power outages happen, because of rising water, we'll address them on a case-by-case basis.
George Olson speaking with Kinston Mayor B.J. Murphy. The mayor adds anyone looking for more information on the effects of flooding can visit either Lenoir County Emergency Services and B.J. Murphy 360 on Facebook, or on Twitter, go to Lenoir County ES and B.J. Murphy 360. Hurricane Matthew has brought severe flooding to several major cities in central and eastern North Carolina, and the damage in places like Fayetteville and Greenville have received a lot of attention, but small communities are suffering too. WUNC's Jay Price went to one of them, a town he knows well.
Thursday afternoon, Kelly Thomas stood at a yellow crime scene tape and looked down South Highland Boulevard in Grifton at the brown floodwater gliding slowly around her restaurant. There was water inside, too.
We're thinking right now about 2 feet.
She'd been coming here since Sunday, two or three times a day. At first, just waiting for the high water everyone knew was coming down the Contentnia Creek. Then, on Tuesday morning, watching it rise up around her Highway 55 Burgers, Shakes, and Fries franchise. Now she just comes and looks, even though there's nothing much going on. She can't do anything, can't even wade out and check inside. But she needs to see.
I know some people think that it's devastating, but for me to be able to process it, I kind of have to see it and see the progress of where it's at so my mind can process, hey, this is what's happening.
And so do I. Grifton's my hometown. A classmate won the contest to give it a slogan, the family town. Pretty basic slogan, nothing fancy, and that's our town, about what you'd expect from a place of 2,700 people. A small main street, a handful of shops and restaurants that aren't making anyone rich, a few churches. Every spring brings a run of fish called shad up that creek, and in the early 1970s, town leaders decided that could be a good theme for a festival. The Shad Festival has since become a kind of claim to fame and prompted other towns nearby to start their own festivals. But the creek doesn't just give, it also takes from the town. In 1999, flooding from Hurricane Floyd was even worse, almost filling the restaurant Thomas now owns.
63 inches inside.
And also dozens and dozens of homes. This flood has damaged perhaps 20 to 30 homes, and most of the town is still without electricity, said the man who's trying to hold things together, interim town manager Mark Warren. He's worried that some residents of the damaged homes might not return, and long term, there's another potential problem.
You know, the only grocery store we got is underwater, so that makes food that more important item getting down here. Our only really clothing store here is the dollar store, which does underwater.
The good news is the people of Grifton aren't alone. Charities are helping out, and so is the nearby town of Aiden, 7 miles north. Aiden has sent police officers, firefighters, and utility crews. Grifton has just 15 town employees and a budget that's only big enough to buy one house in a fancy triangle neighborhood. But it and Aiden have had to team up for so long, it's automatic. They even share the high school I graduated from, Aiden Grifton High. On Thursday, two churches set up tables at Aiden Elementary School, feeding whoever was hungry from both towns.
Sweetheart, are you hungry? Would you like something to eat? Yes, ma'am. That's
what I thought we were doing. Steve Tripp, the mayor of Aiden, watched as people lined up for spaghetti, boiled cabbage, and fragrant chicken and rice. He said a lot of the outside attention was going to the floods in Greenville to the north and Kinston to the south, cities with a lot more ability to handle a disaster. But Aiden and Grifton have something else.
It's community support. You know, we may not have the resources and the manpower in the town to do things, but we have volunteers and people in the community who reach out and become very active, I think, more than it would a big city. Because this is family. This is people we see every day. This is people we live with every day. It's people we know, the families. We know the people's name. We know the children. We know where they are in life.
As he spoke, church volunteers fixed stacks of takeout plates and loaded them onto a small bus to take them to a Grifton nursing home that had been without power for days. It's not clear if the Piggly Wiggly grocery store and the Dollar General in Grifton will reopen, but Thomas knows what's going to happen to her Highway 55 restaurant, though.
Oh, we're going to be here. We will rebuild and get back open, and we'll be okay.
And in April, the Shad will come up the creek again, and the Shad Festival will be back, too, for the 47th time. I'm Jay Price.
This is Jill McGuire, Acting General Manager of Public Radio East. Everyone in eastern North Carolina is being impacted by the current flooding. With that in mind, Public Radio East will be postponing the upcoming fund drive until October 24th. The most important thing that Public Radio East can do right now is to continue to bring you as much information as possible. If you'd like to support PRE now, you can pledge online at publicradioeast.org. Thank you for listening, and be safe.
It's been nearly a week since Hurricane Matthew struck the Carolina coast, bringing destructive winds and heavy rainfall to our region. Earlier this week, I spoke with meteorologist Tom Locke with the National Weather Service office in Newport about the aftermath of Hurricane Matthew and why the storm was so difficult to predict.
The effects from Hurricane Matthew started moving into eastern North Carolina well before the center of the storm entered the area. We had a lot of rainfall, obviously, from the storm, and that began affecting the region early Saturday morning, while the center of the storm was still in the Savannah, Charleston area.
And all throughout the day Saturday, we were watching the movement of Matthew, and the track was especially hard to predict because it kept changing. Before it seemed like it was going to be more of a coastal storm, right?
That's correct. As early as 5 days out, it looked like it was going to move up the coast. And then several days before it actually hit, it looked like it was going to stay south of eastern North Carolina with the biggest effects on the coast. And then what actually happened was the storm moved up the coast. While the center of the storm remained offshore the whole time, large effects were felt all across eastern North Carolina.
It seems like central and eastern North Carolina were impacted more than maybe the coastal counties.
In some respects, yes. As far as the flooding rains, catastrophic flooding, that's correct. The inland areas were affected more, and that's because the hurricane started interacting with a frontal system over the central and eastern North Carolina, and that pulled the moisture up across the inland areas versus the coastal areas.
While the storm was going on, we had several tornado warnings coming in, and since then I've seen some huge pine trees that were twisted off about 15, 20 feet off the ground in Craven County. Were these in fact tornadoes during the storm, or just straight-line winds? Or
we did have some indication on radar that there could be tornadoes, but nothing was ever confirmed. Now, we did have sustained tropical storm force winds with hurricane force gusts, so there were a lot of trees down across the area.
Of course, during the storm, like you mentioned, down trees, down power lines. We've had widespread power outages across eastern North Carolina. Where were some of the highest wind speeds recorded here in our area?
Sure. Well, all of eastern North Carolina recorded at least tropical storm force winds. The highest winds were on the coast, especially the Outer Banks, where 80 to 90 mile per hour winds were recorded. Highest wind gust was at Jeanette's Pier, 95 miles per hour wind gust. Now, the interior areas did see strong winds too, 40 to 60 miles per hour. Because of the saturated soil, those winds brought down trees a lot more efficiently.
Would I be correct in saying that it seems like coastal areas experienced more of the wind impacts, whereas inland areas were more of the rainfall impacts?
Technically, yeah, the higher winds were recorded on the coast, but the highest rainfall totals were seen across the coastal plain, interior sections of eastern North Carolina, and along the I-95 corridor. Generally 10 to 12 inches of rain fell.
So significant rainfall, of course, an impact with this storm. One of the things it's causing now is flooding. Some local waterways have crested and started receding. How long do you expect we're going to be dealing with flooding here in eastern North Carolina?
Currently, the Neuse River is expected to reach or exceed the record flood levels seen during Hurricane Floyd. The Tar River in Greenville and the Neuse River at Kinston, those rivers are going to stay in flood stage at least through early next week, and the Neuse River in Kinston at least through middle next week.
Is there any rain that's going to be coming in the next couple of weeks that could make the situation here in eastern North Carolina worse?
There's going to be several fronts moving through, but they look like they're not going to produce too much rain. They'll be mainly moving through on the dry side.
That's definitely some good news right now. Tom, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.